KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's mostly clear and 33 degrees in Atlantic at 8 o'clock. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, in light of recent incidents where identity theft has been prevalent in the area, the Cass County Sheriff's Office this morning has issued a reminder to the public to be vigilant about telephone and mail scams. Officials say you should never give your personal information over the phone and never send your personal information to any requester that you do not know and trust. That, of course, would include bank information, credit information, social security numbers, and family information. The Sheriff's Office urges you not to respond to any mailings of doubtful origin and hang up on callers requesting personal information. More news in just a moment. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Officials of the Cass County Sheriff's Office are reporting today the arrest on October 31st of 25-year-old Ashley Renee DeWitt of Griswold. DeWitt turned herself in on a Cass County warrant, charging her with three counts of burglary in the third degree and one count of theft in the second degree. She was being held in the Cass County Jail on $20,000 bond. And on October 23rd, the Sheriff's Office arrested 50-year-old Joseph Allen Martindale of Turin, Iowa, on charges of third offense OWI and reckless driving. Martindale was being held in the Cass County Jail until being released on a $10,000 bond. Iowa and Nebraska officials on Wednesday celebrated the reopening of a stretch of Interstate 680 here in western Iowa that was severely damaged by Missouri River flooding. The reopening was welcome news to those who relied on the three-mile stretch of I-680 from Interstate 29 to the Missouri River north of Council Bluffs. The freeway is a key link between Iowa and Nebraska. Officials reopened all four lanes of the freeway after a ceremony Wednesday afternoon. They hope to open the freeway by the end of the year, but crews working almost nonstop on the $19 million project managed to exceed expectations, and they got a bonus for that as well. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad was joined by other officials for the ceremony to mark the reopening. Also reopening on Wednesday was Iowa Highway 175 between Interstate 29 at Ottawa to Decatur, Nebraska. A registered nurse at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic was recently honored by the Iowa Hospital Association as one of 10 hospital heroes from across the state. Judy Nelson was selected for her efforts in organizing the Every 15 Minutes program for students at the Atlantic High School last spring. That's a two-day unique educational experience designed to teach students about the dangers and consequences of driving while drinking or distracted. Nelson organized over 100 volunteers to provide the life-saving educational program. That included CCMH staff, local community, and business volunteers. And after a successful first year, she's now working to provide the same program for Griswold High School in the spring of 2012. And Nelson hopes to bring it to the Cam High School and back to Atlantic in the future. Now, Judy Nelson was nominated by her co-workers with letters of support from Atlantic High School Principal Heather McKay and Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green. The hospital heroes were recognized at a special presentation program held recently during the IHA's annual meeting in Des Moines. Supporters of the Eagle of Honor Project in Council Bluffs say a groundbreaking ceremony will take place this weekend for the Council Bluffs Eagle of Honor Project titled Freedom with Honor. The public is invited to the event, which takes place at 12:30 at the Rails West Museum lawn at 16th and Main Streets in Council Bluffs on Saturday. The Veterans Day program will begin at 11 a.m. that same day in downtown Council Bluffs, and the groundbreaking will follow the parade with refreshments served. The Eagle of Honor Project is a countywide project to honor all veterans of the armed forces of the U.S. The Veterans Memorial is designed to pay homage to the valor and bravery of veterans and their families who have served, are serving, or will serve in the future. The Eagle is a bronze American Eagle statue, 42 inches high, designed by artist Russell Christensen of Neola. Every city within Pottawatomie County will have a different Eagle monument surrounded by a unique plaza or welcoming area. Council Bluffs is one of the last cities in the county to have an Eagle memorial built. For more information on that, you can log on to www.eaglesofhonorproject.com. Omaha Council Bluffs is the first community in the region to begin installing a new type of technology that will pinpoint where gunshots ring out in the metro area. Omaha Police Officer Jacob Bettine said the gunfire detection system uses sensors that are placed all over town in undisclosed locations.
This system identifies the fact that shots have been fired and then notifies law enforcement and informs them of where to go.
It can apparently differentiate between gunshots and other loud noises, from fireworks to engine backfires. Much like satellites and the GPS system triangulate a location, this system will use the same technique to let police know the exact location of gunshots.
That allows us to get to the area more efficiently than waiting for the public, and allows us to know with greater detail where that incident is occurring and how to safely respond.
Bettine says the technology is called the Shot Spotter, and it's being installed following the awarding of a $900,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now we're going to have the ability to get there sooner and potentially be able to make an arrest, regardless of if it's a simple shots fired or destruction property, even a homicide.
Bettine believes they can make more arrests and help to reduce gun crime by using the technology. The system, once operational, will detect where a shot is fired more quickly and accurately than someone who calls 911, and it should be online later this month. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man is facing up to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to selling prescription drugs without a prescription. The U.S. Attorney's Office said 50-year-old David Kempema pleaded guilty Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Sioux City to trafficking misbranded drugs with the intent to defraud or mislead. Prosecutors say Kempema advertised and sold drugs purported to be Viagra and Cialis. When he received an order, he would supply the customer with other drugs not approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither drug included directions for use. Prosecutors say Kempema obtained the drugs from India and shipped the drugs with a fake return address from Costa Rica to mislead customers and police. He also faces a $250,000 fine. A date for his sentencing has not been set. Defense lawyers for a woman charged with murdering a 20-year-old Iowa man have been making their case that law enforcement botched the investigation into claims that she acted in self-defense during a home invasion. After prosecutors took a week to lay out evidence against Tracy Richter in Dustin Weedy's death, her attorneys called witnesses Wednesday who described Weedy as violent, blasted investigators for mishandling the case, and supported Richter's claims that she was choked with pantyhose. Richter is on trial for first-degree murder and the shooting death at her home in Early. Prosecutors say that she killed Weedy during a plot to frame her ex-husband. Richter claims she shot Weedy after he and another man broke into her home while she was watching her three children. Authorities in Montgomery County say a Villisca man was arrested Wednesday afternoon on sexual abuse charges. 21-year-old Benjamin Wyatt Barnes faces three felony counts of sexual abuse in the third degree. Barnes was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $10,000 bond. The Audubon County Sheriff's Department said yesterday that one person was arrested Tuesday on drug charges. 33-year-old Nicholas Zachariah Coulter of Fort Dodge was taken into custody at around 9 p.m. Tuesday after a traffic stop on Highway 71 near Hamlin. Officials say that Coulter faces charges that include possession of methamphetamine, third offense, possession of marijuana, third offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving while barred. He was being held in the Audubon County Jail on $5,000 bond. And the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening heard from at least one city resident who is not happy with the way the people in his part of the community are being treated by road construction crews working in the area. Steve Green told the council that crews from Western Engineering working on resurfacing Redwood Drive were very rude Tuesday evening, as he and some of his neighbors were returning onto Redwood Drive after coming home from work.
While we were driving through, several of them yelled at us. Several of them made gestures. They weren't obscene, but they were making gestures at us like we weren't supposed to be there. With 22nd Street being torn up at the same time, what are we supposed to do?
He said one resident had to drive through a field off of Ash Street to get to their home because of the construction.
I think the city council needs to know that these people are extremely rude, and they don't need to be when we don't have any other way of getting to our homes. When you have two roads tore up, there's nothing else we can do.
Mayor Dave Jones asked if the residents had access via one lane of the street, and Green said they do, but the road crews weren't happy with them being there.
They didn't think we should even be on that street. We had no choice.
City Administrator Doug Harris said a lot of people are frustrated with the pace of road construction and repairs, but progress is being made.
You know, we've all been sort of frustrated with the pace of getting these roads done. There has been quite a bit done in the last week with the hot mix asphalt projects. Poplar Street, 13th Street, Redwood, and Walnut have all gotten paved this week. They started work on 2nd Street. They haven't completed that. In fact, even part of 22nd Street yesterday from the highway to Redwood had the concrete laid down on that. So that's at least showing some progress. I would imagine it's going to take three pours, and I think the last I heard is they were planning to be, Friday to do another pour.
Harris said he would follow up on Green's complaint and talk with Western Engineering officials. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour on KJAN, fewer people applied for unemployment benefits last week, a hopeful sign the job market might be picking up. Labor Department said weekly applications dropped 9,000 to a seasonally adjusted 397,000, the lowest level in 5 weeks. It's only the third time since April that applications have fallen below 400,000. President Obama says Iran's nuclear program is still a threat, and he wants the international community to keep putting pressure on that country to come clean about its intentions. The International Atomic Energy Agency is getting ready to reveal intelligence on Iran's alleged nuclear arms experiments. Iran has consistently denied that it's trying to build any nuclear weapons. The chairman of the Republican Party says allegations of sexual harassment involving Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain won't damage the GOP's chances of defeating President Obama next year. Renz Priebus told the NBC Today show that the key issue is that the public wants change at the top. And a peaceful day of demonstrating in Oakland, California, ended in chaos this morning with police in riot gear firing tear gas and arresting dozens of people after Occupy Wall Street protesters shut down the port of Oakland for several hours yesterday. Some protesters marched through downtown to break into a vacant building, shattering windows, spraying graffiti, and setting fires along the way. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Glenn Stonebreaker, age 74 of Exira and formerly of Adair, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Glenn Stonebreaker will be today at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Exira in charge of arrangements. Tawny Joe Lockery Stetzel, age 44 of Guthrie Center, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Tawny Joe Stetzel will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Jim Muherder, age 64 of Atlantic, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Jim Muherder will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Diana Glenn, age 54 of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Diana Glenn will be held Friday, tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora, followed by cremation. Earl Kirchhoff, age 82 of Templeton, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. A massive Christian burial service for Earl Kirchhoff will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Carolyn Ullman, age 80 of Adair, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Carolyn Ullman will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Dale Fazell, age 84 of Bridgewater, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Dale Fazell will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Ruby Ann Crawley, age 76 of Audubon, died Saturday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Ruby Crawley will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Sandra M. Wilkinson, age 71 of Panora, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Sandra Wilkinson will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Kenneth Beener Inken, age 79 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Kenneth Inken are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Dorothy L. Lemke Whitehall Liddell, age 94 of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Liddell are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And that is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour on KJAN, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.